So let's go and look at two qubit gates. And we said that if I had a qubit 1 and a qubit 2, then I could couple these side right? No. I could create qubits, I could create a gate out of a coupling between any of these operators of the qubits, but I could also create them by having some other qubit in between, which I'm going to call an actuator. Or I could create it by having an actuator for each of these. Or I could create it by having a cavity that couples in between. And I could also create it by some other mean fields, but they're all going to, any of those things will always look like one of these. And so I have this great way of building, and the coupling between qubits is the hardest piece to connect as you're trying to make an architecture. So of course the individual qubit action that usually comes pretty easily in an architecture, but then to say, okay, how do I connect enough qubits together in a structure? And so I wanted to just look a little bit about the different actions of these. And let's start by looking at a controlled NOT gate. And so if I want to describe a controlled NOT gate, then I could describe it in terms of that propagator that says flip B if A is in the zero state, otherwise leave everything alone, right? And you'll remember that E plus minus are idempotents. Now you remember that we also saw that if I described an operator, I could expand it in terms of idempotents. And so I could say that e to the a e plus is equal to that should get it right, that we can expand this. And so if I have this action, I can rewrite this I can rewrite it as those terms. And of course, the idempotent square to themselves, and that would give you zero. And so this, using that expression, I could rewrite like so. And now I can expand these idempotents just expanding those terms. And you'll notice that these all commute. So it doesn't matter what order I place them in. And this is a complete recipe for applying our gate. And if we wanted to have a controlled NOT gate, then it says, well, you need some global phase. You need a rotation of Z for the A spin. You need this correlated motion, right? This is the whole piece. This is the good stuff. And then you need a rotation about the B spin. But that's all that's there. Yeah? And of course, you notice that none of these terms are the terms we have there. But we talked about average Hamiltonian theory, and so it's no big deal, right? So I can take, I have to be careful now. You know, somehow this is a better picture than this one, right? We'll put that one there. There we go. So we can take this term, e to the I sigma x sigma z pi over 2, and I can say, well, okay, if I have the sigma z term of the Hamiltonian, then this can be e to the I sigma z pi over 2, e to the minus I sigma y pi over 2, and that better be on the A spin. And I just sandwich it, right? And so now we've taken on average over this sequence and created that action. And we have our complete gate. And I was going to spend some time going through it, but it's simple enough. Let me just show you the essential piece. Because, you know, we don't care about a global phase. In fact, I don't even care so much about that phase. So what does it tell us? It says, if you want to have a controlled NOT gate, and I'm going to look at the controlled NOT gate for a particular initial state. So, of course, it's not going to define everything. Yeah? That's okay. So then I'll say, well, let's take the state that has, and so we're rotating the B-spin conditional on A. So then we have the B-spin. And I'm going to draw two vectors on the block sphere because I want the B spin where A is up, and I want the B spin where A is down. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give an unconditional rotation. And I wonder if I have... No, doesn't matter. We're going to give an unconditional rotation of the B-spin. So I'm going to rotate the B-spin, and I'll just rotate it by this axis. And so we'll rotate both of these vectors into the x-axis. And then if I look at the evolution under the term sigma z, sigma z, well, sigma z says rotate the B-spin about the axis sigma z. But if the A-spin is up, rotate with a positive frequency. If the A-spin is down, rotate it with a negative frequency. And so we're going to rotate these in opposite directions. And you can see that if I rotate them by pi over 2, I end up in this nice correlated state. Where I have the B spins labeled by the A spin being up or down. And so we go from a state that had no correlation to the controlled knot generates a correlation between the A and B spins. And of course, I want the correlation to end up along the z-axis. So I should rotate these by 90 degrees about that axis and end up along the z-axis. Okay, and if we come back, we say, oh yes, I've got the rotation of the B-spin, I've got the control here, I've got the rotations of the A-spin, so it all works out. Good. Now, there are, of course, as I said here, an infinite number of ways of creating these gates. And let me just show you one other. So if I take this system, then if we're looking at the operator and I apply this, and let's just put some angle, doesn't matter what it is. Of course, sigma x commutes with sigma y, and so now then we can look at what happens in this piece of it. So sigma z is transformed into cosine theta. Sigma z plus, so minus sine theta sigma y sigma x. And then by the action of those two, well, this will rotate into cosine theta sigma z identity. So just keeping right where it was. And we'll get the term here that is cosine theta sine theta. And it will be sigma x sigma y plus sigma y sigma x. And it never hurts to make sure that I've got my signs right, which I don't, plus sine squared theta identity sigma z. And so nicely, as we would expect, it leads to moving a spin polarization or qubit energy from one qubit to another qubit. Okay. Good. Now then, I want to look at if I dare raise the boards again. They ran out of energy. If we look at having a qubit, our actuator, and a qubit, so qubit one, qubit two. And let's put the same coupling here. And the idea of this actuator spin is it's supposed to enable coupling. So we don't want any coherence here. No information should reside on that. And I want no interactions between those qubits except as mediated by this. So then I can control whether I have an effective coupling between those by what do I do with this actuator spin. Okay? So, you know, the actuator could easily be some hybrid system, or if you have a trapped ion, it can be a different ion, or it could be a different state you're looking at. And so it's good to label these things. And so directly you see that there's no coupling between one and two. Everything is mediated by the actuator spin. I want to show that there is a coupling that this results in a coupling between one and two. And of course, the easy way of showing that is to look at the commutator of those two Hamiltonians. Okay, and of course, if I look at the commutator of those two Hamiltonians, you know, this term is clearly going to commute with that term. And of course, one and two are distinct, so everything commutes for those. And so the only places that I'm going to see any action is this, the Y term with the X term, and the Y term with the X term. And of course, they're always going to return sigma Z for the actuator spin. Okay, so that's by design. And so we end up out of this having this nice relationship. Oops. That we get to have a coupling between the two spins, but mediated by the third spin. And of course, it's showing up in a commutator. And so you'd like that commutator to be an important term. And so if I was just exponentiating the sum of those two Hamiltonians, of course, I would see that action, right? But it would come in a second order. Okay? And I want it to be more important than that. So let's look at what's happening. I have an energy level diagram where the actuator is in the zero state, or it's in the one state. And of course, these are the energy levels of one and two. And it makes it look like these are coupled, but there is no coupling, right? I wrote down the Hamiltonian. But it is the case that I would like this to be my gate. And I would like my actuator spin to always be in the 0-0 state. And then it's a straightforward task to show that you can achieve this by two tasks. One, if I put a frequency here, omega 1 and omega 2. If omega 1 is equal to omega 2, then directly in the collective subspace, this becomes the leading term. So then we're golden. Or if I drive these transitions so those are allowed transitions of my actuator spin. And if I drive these two transitions at exactly the same resonance frequency, and I go into the interaction frame of those, then this term becomes the leading term again. And I will see the coherent evolution. It'll look like this is the only thing that's happening. And so, although I'm driving these terms, the spin will move from here to here and back and forth. Okay? And so I'm not going to go over the math because it gets a little tedious, but there's nothing tricky about that math. Okay? Now notice what happens. So this was if we apply a Ravi frequency to the A spin that couples just those four levels. So what happens is I have now a control knob that says, sure, this is always there. There's a perturbation. But I can make it the most important thing by taking my two qubits and moving them on resonance, moving them to have those two frequencies exactly the same. Or I can take and apply a Ravi field even when those two are not the same. That will couple the two spins and allow me to have a gate that looks like exactly the exchange operation that we had before. Okay? And so we can have a gate on demand just by having a one ancilla. And if the rate of this if the Ravi field is fast or the coherence time of the ancilla is long, then as long as this thing is greater than one, then I never lose any information from the coherence. So as you put in a dephasing term for the ancilla spins, you'll find that the fact that you're driving these two frequencies will remove that dephasing. Okay, you won't lose information that way. Okay, somehow I feel like I haven't convinced you. Okay. Well, if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. And so now then we can say, okay, if I want to build a structure, I can build a structure by using an ancilla to connect my qubits. I don't have to have the qubits directly connected. And nicely, I have an easy way of turning off that coupling. So I can only give the coupling when I want it. And of course, in practice, I think the nicest way is you make these two different, so that only when you apply this Rabi field are they coupled, and otherwise they're not coupled. And you can sort of see that if I make those two different, then there's an energy mismatch. And so if I was just looking at the flow of a photon through the system, it's not going to want to go from one to the other. Okay. Let me see. Let's keep that one. The analysis of having two actuators in our qubit is no different. So if I take here a Hamiltonian that goes as any of those, but let's take sigma dot sigma. If I take here a Hamiltonian and it doesn't actually matter, but the one I'll show you the answer for is this one. So clearly, again, there's no coupling between the qubits, right? There's only coupling to the actuators. And if you were given a structure like this and you were a computer scientist, you would say, well, okay, this is no problem. I'm going to do a swap gate between these two. And then I'll do a swap gate between these two. And then I'll do a swap gate between these two. And then I'll do a swap gate between these two. And then I'll do a swap gate between those two. And now I've done a swap gate between those two qubits. Yeah? But that seems awful clunky to me. And so if we look at the commutator, and now I need the second commutator. So this is the Hamiltonian between the two actuators. This is the Hamiltonian between the actuator and the qubit. Of course, it's a sum of both of those terms. So it's this piece and that piece, etc. Then this piece looks like that, which says you can flip the two qubits, provided you flip the two ancilla, right? So I can flip the two qubits, that's this piece, but only if I flip the two ancilla at the same time. So if we write down the energy level diagram, just as we did there, so now we have two ancilla. So I need to label these for both of the ancilla. Of course, each of these subspaces is a subspace of the qubits. And the operation we want to see is this one. So what I'd like to see is that the ancilla are both in their ground state, so there's no information in the ancilla, and that I could do a swap, because the swap is universal, between the two qubits. But of course, this state is a constant in the motion of that Hamiltonian. So nothing's going to happen. But this Hamiltonian, it tells me that these two levels are connected, right? Because this is spin up, spin down, and this is spin down, spin up. And of course, I've flipped the states of the two ancilla, right? So these are the terms that are allowed by that. And I want to make this perturbation first order again. I want this to be the most important term. And so it's pretty easy. I need to get up into this manifold. And so we drive the system with these Ravi fields. And so what happens? You start here, you create a coherence, but because of this commutator, your coherence moves over here. And then, of course, it comes back down on this side. And this has the nice feature that it's only going to happen in the excitation manifold of the actuator spins. So it's only when I turn on the Ravi field that anything's going to happen, that the initial state is a constant in motion here. This is not the same story there. That in that case, by going and applying the Ravi fields, then I made the commutator the most important term. But it was there anyways. And the system was not the constant of the motion of that. Okay? So the system would have evolved anyways, but it wouldn't have evolved as cleanly if I didn't apply the Ravi fields. Here, the system doesn't evolve until I turn on these Ravi fields, which is why this is what we like to design with rather than that one. And it has exactly the same characteristics that provided that T2 of the ancilla times the Ravi frequency is greater than 1, we're not going to create, we're not going to lose information due to the decoherence of the ancilla spins. So certainly we create a coherence and we come back here, but you never create much of a coherence because your Ravi frequency is so fast that you're just oscillating between there. And you need to think that you have many, many, many cycles of your Ravi frequency. And so you're coherently moving over here. And so you decouple those and you have a very robust gate. Okay. Now, all of the rest of these gates, I can put into those terms. So there's, you know, we can go through more examples, but there's not more physics that shows up in going through those examples. It's lovely to see that if I added more qubits, it doesn't change the physics at all. And I can use this one quantum channel to swap in parallel as many qubits as I have. But there's no bottleneck for that channel. So if I want to pair them, if I want to say, I'm going to swap here and I'm going to swap there, then they need to be different frequencies. And so there's an engineering that you have to decide of how you do that. You mean if I only wanted to swap here?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? So we can use that piece locally, and we can use this other piece across the nodes. Yeah.
Is using more Mozilla better? I mean, does it improve using more Mozilla?
It does. If I said, what's the speed at which I can send information down a channel? Then the more complicated I make the channel, the faster I can send information down. But it's not a problem that's been well worked on. So it's easy to see that if I have this, the interference effects allow me to go faster than this. And if I keep making these more and more complicated, you can go faster still, but we don't have a, I don't know of a result that says this is the optimal for that. Yeah, that's right. So the connection to the Hamiltonian would be like that. And I forget. I don't think it matters if there's a coupling between them or not. But don't take my word for that. Okay. So let's stop here. We're going to continue talking about this on Thursday. But for your tutorial on Thursday, what I want you to do is to think about this problem and take that ancilla and replace it with a cavity and try to do the same physics. I first want you to do that where I give you the promise that the cavity is in its ground state. Okay? And then you can look at what the complexity you get if the cavity is not in its ground state. Okay? Yeah. But you're the expert in that stuff. I should make you talk about it, but I won't. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thanks.